favorite astrology program, It's All in the Stars, with astrologer Hassan Jaffer. And now, here's your host for tonight, Michael Cervini.
And welcome to our show, It's All in the Stars, with my host, Sherwin, on the line. Hi, Sherwin, are you there?
Hi, how are you?
Hi, Sherwin. So this is Hassan Jaffer, the astrologer, and my good friend, Sherwin, who's also very much into astrology, and he lives in Los Angeles, so he knows all about all the stars that's going on as well. So, Sherwin,
I heard it came true about Obama.
That was a landslide.
Sure did. I'm very excited. I'm very, very happy. We're all
that Obama won.
Even,
you know, even before he was nominated, we had said that Hillary, there's no way she's coming up. And, you know, actually, she has a much better chance than Sarah Palin, and they were saying Sarah Palin wants to come in 2012. There's absolutely no way. She'll be completely in obscurity because all the planets are coming down.
Right.
And they both, you know, it's interesting, both McCain and Sarah Palin, their planets were coming completely down. Whereas Hillary was at least coming up, but Obama was right on top coming up, and so was Biden.
That's right.
So
That's right.
Think this is going to be, unless she's coming in 2012, so Obama gets a second term as well. That's a possibility.
And now I have a question. Are you saying Palin's will be down in 2012, so she
won't
be able to get
absolutely
Saturn.
No
yeah.
way she's coming up. No way she's coming
up. Yeah, that's the primary concern here. Okay, good.
No, and the thing is, though, she's totally like a laughing stock. I mean, they were saying all this moose thing and all that, you know, and the whole world is just laughing at that, you know. Like, it's not just America, it's also the image outside what America presents. That's very, very important.
Yeah. It's very embarrassing for us, you know. Yeah. Very embarrassing
but,
for us.
But he definitely has his own agenda. You see, Obama has a very difficult time because his life is in danger right now, right about next August. He's got a Saturn Mars and Uranus Mars. One is going to ask for free cash on the head and spine. I mean, there's no configuration which is more dangerous than this. He's got both of them. I mean, these are dangerous aspects, so hopefully he will take care. So I was very concerned, actually, in that, you know, when he was giving that speech, I could see the bulletproof on either side, but I didn't see one in front. I guess they must have had in front also, yeah?
Which one?
You know, when he was giving the speech.
Yeah.
The speech. Did they have a bulletproof in front as well?
Well,
I only saw on the side. I didn't see in the front. But they must have had. I guess it was all clear. That's why we didn't see it. It was funny to watch Oprah as part of the audience. I know.
Yes.
Along with thousands of other people. Well, the thing is, but the first person he hires is a very radical person. I mean, this fellow's father was a known Zionist, actually, this doctor, this pediatrician, actually, you know. In fact, he was on the terrorist list of the British people. So it's quite...
Right.
It's interesting to see, but it's interesting. He has this Muslim background, and he's hired somebody who has a very strong, radical, like a Jewish background, which is really interesting. And, of course, he's Catholic, I guess, Biden, right? So we've got all religions combined.
Yes, he does. He sure does.
Yeah.
And,
but the thing is, you know,
I heard that he is although he is known to be tough, Emmanuel, but he's also, you know, there is a certain, you know, he is a Democrat, and there's a certain fairness about him. And
he definitely is not a liberal. There's absolutely no way. His chart is really a very radical chart. Now, I do like people who are very truthful and all that, but there's a very powerful aspect. He's got Mercury in Scorpio, Mars in Scorpio, and Biden has Mars in Scorpio too. So, and he has Mars in Scorpio right on top of the chart. Like the next 3-4 weeks, it's definitely like a war aspect. They have to resolve a lot of things. So Obama doesn't have an easy aspect with Mars being in the 9th house first, then coming in the 10th house, which is a whole career. But the 9th house is, of course, when you... It's like when you are thinking about God, but I shouldn't say for wrong reasons, but when there's some trauma happens, like the life or death situation when you hear from long distance. So his grandmother passed away, and that was at Mars being the 9th house too.
Right.
And then he's coming in the 10th house in January, which is a major redefining or radical adjustment going on in his career. And all these people are trying to position themselves and Crystal and all these people, total hypocrites, including the Lieberman, actually. All these people are trying to gain advantage from him, of course, you know, and pretending as if all the things that they said was nothing. It's really interesting how hypocrites are being exposed, and I'm sure...
Yeah, and actually Lieberman is talking about going to the Republican side, you know?
Well, yeah, because otherwise he'd be kicked out, probably, you know? And it's unfortunate the margin is so close. But, I mean, even the way he talks, maybe the first three letters of his name lie.
True,
there's a reason why they named that. I know, in acrophonology we look at that, but there's a lot of, in symbology as well.
I
mean, there's a lot to do, of course, and he has a tremendous answer. You see, people underestimate the hope that he gives Obama. You know, that's his brainland being separate from lifeline. So he definitely has ability. Like even with Iran, for example, they congratulated him, for example, but he has to think twice about saying anything because of all these different groups saying all kinds of radical things. So he's being a bit cautious. He's in a difficult position.
He is. Very difficult position, yeah.
Yeah, and that's why I think it's a difficult job.
Yeah,
I mean, he definitely wants the peace there, and he knows that Netanyahu has become quite radical, actually, and the Likud, and he definitely is coming back in the first 6 months.
Are you sure he's going to win over the other lady?
Oh, and there's no question in my mind, yeah. I mean, Netanyahu has a very bright chart, and he's got a big legal mind, and he's a very sharp fellow.
But he has all these Libra planets, you know. He seems like he has a Mercury, Pluto trine or sextile.
I know. So does Putin, and so does Ahmadinejad, and so did Olmert. You're right. But you see, the Libra part can also be very sort of a cold thinking. And because his brother was assassinated, he was actually killed in that Entebbe. And
he feels
commander thing. The thing also, see, the more Qassam rockets come there, we don't know who actually sends it, but his own people, or we have absolutely no idea. And it helps him. And so it's very unfortunate the way it's going, but it has put a break, of course, with all this financial aspect here. Obama, we do have love from the grassroots position because the people from so many different branches are coming there. That's going to definitely help a lot. And the internet is going to help a lot. Like even, you know, I'd actually registered from here to get his emails. I even got the email, you know, when he was going for the speech and then after speech. It's really interesting. I mean, it's the infrastructure. Use the internet very well. Yeah.
Good. I have a question. Do you think, what's the hopes for peace process now in the Middle East? Because you said Pluto and
Well, you know what? There are three, four of my predictions which came through at the same time. One of them was last year, even before Hillary. When she was, everybody thought that she'd be coming in. We had said that he'll come in and with a landslide. As it goes so many times, but also in May that I'd said, but his bailout has said all these things, that the stock market will be redefined by till November of 2008. And then 10 years ago, we said there'll be a major change all around the world where the peace will begin. The first aspects of peace will start from end of November, which is exactly coincided with Obama coming in. And everything that you've talked about, the changes that you've talked about, and the energy, which is all the Capricorn, the Pluto and Capricorn, coming from the Earth, all that aspect he's talking about, which is exactly, it's coinciding with all that. So it's almost like he's being, and everything that came up, as if he was just led by a storm, the $700 billion, this bailout came just at the same time. So it really coincides with something which is totally destined. But after that, now he's going to have a lot of problem with the Senate also, and all the Democrats and Republicans, everybody, because the legal aspect is a Saturn Mars to the action configuration that he's having. There's a lot of people angry there, but also it indicates a lot of hassles that when you're not able to pass a bill, or it's a frustrating aspect, you want to do something, but the money is not there. Any limitations, anything which is stopping you from achieving, that part is a Saturn Mars theme, which continues till about next summer. But these 2-3 months, he does have some very positive themes. And now, because he has the Mercury-Neptune square, as I said, there are 2-3 things which I'm very concerned about. One of them is that these people can go off at a bit of a tangent. There's a definite spiritual aspect about them, and they're able to come out of difficult situations. It's very easy for them to go in and out of things, which is fantastic. But who they trust, that's the thing. Once the emotions get involved, all the good sense of logic goes completely out the window. And I think these people would be trying to force him to do all kinds of things, but I feel that he will manage it quite well. And he's a Leo, and for example, one of the major aspects right now is also in Pakistan, Zardari. He's also a Leo. Now he has late degrees Mercury in Cancer, which got an aspect from Jupiter, so he's in a real lucky aspect till about end of December. So even though he's a bit of a crook, like they call him the Mr. 10% or something, he always keeps like 10% of everything. But who cares if he is able to get billions of dollars in the process? But this Emmanuel fellow, this Ram, he also had, he has Mercury, late degree Scorpio, also got touched off by Jupiter. So till end of December, he's got some very positive aspects. That's why he got in. But from January, when Jupiter moves into Aquarius, there's no aspect to that Mercury.
Mm-hmm.
And Obama will be giving a lot of speeches. He'll become like a preacher. And his chart is like a preacher, by the way. His second house ruler, which is Neptune, is in the ninth house. So more than a statesman, he's also like a preacher. When you are, you know, and that is exactly when you give hope to people, that means you're not denying the miracles of God. And, but these people are, the Scorpio theme is radical against Russia, and I think Russia is a very important force. The policies are extremely wrong. There's absolutely no reason for Condoleezza Rice to have got it. There's such a wrong timing, totally wrong timing. Her chart is like a radical aspect, by the way, with all these Scorpio planets. And it's interesting, the best of the terrorists or the freedom fighters, depending on whose side you're on, they have those Scorpio planets, actually.
Right.
So she goes there, and they have these, all this signing for all this missile thing in Poland, purely, you know, like really challenging Russia at the wrong time.
Mm.
But the first 6 months of next year, Netanyahu, Ahmadinejad, Putin, they all are getting very positive answers from Jupiter, actually, and Obama as well. So that will hopefully help a lot. Yeah. But
and
you do have a lot of hope.
Netanyahu, do you think Netanyahu will have to come around and have peace, you know?
Well, he does like the peace aspect. I have a feeling that he actually does believe that what's going on. You know, I'm just wondering, you know, that it cannot be just so insensitive, because he does have a strong sense of fairness. He has this Libra planet, even though the way he talks can be a bit radical. I think he does not like people. It's like people who are extremely intelligent. They don't like anybody who is stupid around them. They become very impatient with them. And that's how he sounds to me, you know, because he has an obvious intelligence about him.
And he is Sagittarius rising.
Oh, does he?
Yes.
He might have Scorpio rising. Now I'm wondering if he has Scorpio rising. Because he's not, he's
right,
not tall enough.
Yeah, he doesn't.
He
look
might
like
have late Scorpio.
And, yeah.
But yeah, the stocky part would be Scorpio more. But underneath that, he
that's
might have
what I mean.
Yes, which is quite possible. So the late Scorpio, now that would give also the bit of that radical aspect then.
Yeah.
That would make sense, of course, yeah.
Now, by the way, I do have a quick question. I've noticed this happening a lot, especially I noticed it with celebrities. In my case, there's only a 10-15 minute difference, but I've noticed, for instance, Sean Penn, he was billed as Sagittarius rising, and you said he was Scorpio. And that could be up to you know, an hour and a half difference in time. And so how is it that...
Scorpio, Sagittarius, no, you might have last 2 years of Scorpio as opposed to Sagittarius, for example.
No, I understand, but like, for instance, Netanyahu online, it says that it's 19 degrees Sag. Now, 19 degrees is a far away from late Scorpio. So if he is late Scorpio, how is it that on the birth certificate, could they have gotten the time wrong? Or because, you know, at that
age... No, it's possible that he has Sagittarius rising. It's quite possible. I know his planets and all that. I didn't look at the rising sign as much. But they gave his time of birth, did they?
They did, yeah. Yeah.
I see.
Yeah.
Well, if that's correct, then he definitely is coming in, because Saturn is right on top of his chart.
Yes.
And right now, in the ninth house, he's have some problem with the Senate and all that, but he's coming to a major power aspect right on top.
Right.
He's definitely coming in. And but the good thing is that America doesn't have too much money to give right now. You know, the thing is, you know, that there's an Israeli a company which is manufacturing water, or they've just found from thin air. The humidity that's in the air, they're bottling water from that. I think it's a fantastic thing. So if they're focused on those things, rather than all these other war aspects, I mean, it'll be fantastic. See, that's part of the geological revolution I was talking about. Whether it's the electromagnetic force of the Earth or anti-gravity aspect or whatever aspect which does, or solar energy, for example. And but these forces, also the humidity is already there. Like all of Middle East, it's very, very humid because it's close to the ocean. So just from the air, the humidity is there. They just take the air, so it dehumidifies it. At the same time, it creates pure, clean water, which I think is an excellent idea. It's a very simple thing, but I think it's an excellent idea. All the solar cars going at about 35 miles an hour, it was so interesting. I don't know if you've seen them or not. On YouTube, there are a lot of them, actually. But another prediction, by the way, I'd said about holographic aspect. I felt that because you know, all these, unfortunately, the porn industry, they have a lot of money, so probably the holographic strippers would be the first ones to come up. And but on CNN, you know, when they showed that, that was not a true hologram, actually. There was I shouldn't say it's fake, but it was actually just recreating 2D images, although with these 52 cameras and all that, that part. But the fact that they said they beamed it in, you know, this this projection, it was not, it definitely was not a hologram. Hologram is completely different. They had Prince Charles hologram in 2007, end of 2007. Now, I wrote about 5-6 years ago about Neptune being in Aquarius and Uranus being in Pisces. Both are cross themes, if you realize. It's like analog and digital. To me, Neptune and Pisces is analog, and Uranus is Aquarius is digital, a binary signal, the Aquarius. And that's exactly hologram. Holographic you know, projection on iPhones and all these things we will have very soon. But it did have Prince Charles, actually. That was a true hologram. There was this company in Australia which actually has that. And there was a professor in Chicago also. But so all that part is coming up. So I think the next 2-3 years are going to be very exciting, especially next year. It's going to be one of the best years for the revolution technology. You have to take all these slow-moving planets together, you know, Sharon. Like, for example, Pluto going into Capricorn. But the last few years, being in Sagittarius, there's an emphasis on religion and religion being redefined, and also the transportation, the means of transportation. So you almost had to have these major problems with the oil and everything, because without that, they would never have gone to, like, a super-powered cars or any of these other things, or compressed air, or using water for the for, you know, as a fuel by electrolysis, etc. So with Pluto moving into Capricorn, it actually is part of the whole scheme of nature. That these things, because people don't seem to act so they are forced to. By events,
yes, we are. In a sense,
radical.
We're now forced to do this. Yeah.
Right. So the beginning of the degrees and the last degrees are always the most critical. So what started in 1995 with the advent of, when you said there would be mass communication, I didn't know about internet at that time. When we wrote 1986, there from 1995, there will be mass communication all around the world. We'll be able to see global television from Japan to everywhere. And that's exactly what happened with internet. Mass education,
yes.
That's Sagittarius theme. So all that is coming to an end by end of November. So a lot of themes have already been discovered, but they'll be manufactured and made when Pluto goes into Capricorn. And along with this, you know, space energy, etc., also using the geological thing. But the other thing which is going to be radical is a major, major earthquake, the tectonic the plates shifting all around the world, or this meteor. You know, these themes like deep impact and all these things, I think that's going to be quite a reality. Unfortunately, you know, because, you know, when you see so that, and how do we survive as a species? And that 2011 date that I'd given, February, March, and April. I mean, it's like stellium in Aquarius, then stellium in Pisces, then stellium in Aries. It's like 5-6 planets together. So I was looking everywhere that why hasn't anybody picked up 2011? And then I found it that NASA did have in February around that time that they predicted the biggest solar storm which could knock out all the cell systems, all the satellites, the blackouts around the world. So that makes sense. The second one would be Pisces, which is a tectonic plate probably shifting from Vancouver to Los Angeles, a 650-mile theme, which creates major tsunamis. The third one is a fire as well as the earthquake, and that is, of course, in April 4th of 2011. And so all these things are part of that Pluto and Capricorn. So as a species, we all, you know, we have to have peace. Now, it's interesting, you know, in Iraq, these people are talking about the surge working and all that. It's absolute nonsense. It's Muqtada al-Sadr. He issued this aspect that we want the Americans out, and the only way they'll go out is we cannot give them any pretext that people are, you know, being killed and all that. So we maintain peace till they get out, at least. And that's the reason. It's not because the surge and all that, they were, that's like this suddenly just becomes quiet. See, they've actually issued statements on that level. So we're just waiting for them to go out. And they'll have to do that now. Unfortunately, Obama, you know what I don't understand is these people are saying that they're going out by 2012. I don't think it's going to stay that long at all.
Yeah. No, it'll happen sooner, I'm sure.
I'm sure it's much sooner,
just a quick question, because I was looking, first of all, do you see the earthquake and the affecting New York and the East Coast as well, or more just the West Coast?
I think both. I think all the coasts are going to be affected. I mean the
yeah.
the west. The I mean that Vancouver side definitely is going to be that the whole western coast for sure. But I feel that New York also is going to be affected. Yes.
But Florida, anywhere near Florida, or
yes, but we'll know beforehand also. Like we'll definitely know beforehand what's going on because it's not a one-day transit only. Yeah,
okay.
There's quite a few different events that'll be happening with it. And I mean, there's really a lot of danger. That's why people just keep, you know, they keep on having their popcorns and ice cream and watching movies. There's nothing in the world. But it's a physical aspect. I mean, six planets trying to pull Earth off its orbit. But
do you think we'll get through it okay, or what, honestly, realistically speaking?
You know, Shivan, I still haven't really thought of it too much, you know, because I'm still developing these programs out to see if we had that before. And because a lot of people will be
speaking of that, just to let you know, I was looking at Jennifer Jason Leigh's chart. She's an actress. She was born February 5th, 1962. Sun, Moon, Mercury, Venus, Mars, Jupiter, and Saturn, all in Aquarius.
Well, they said, they had predicted, I think Gene Dixon, somebody had said around that time there'll be an Antichrist. You know, they thought it was an Aquarius. So have you noticed anything in her chart at all?
Well, no, but what I'm saying to you is that if we look to 1962, early 1962, all these planets were in Aquarius. So there must be something. What happened then?
No, but the thing, but they were just a fast-moving planet, not the slow-moving planets at the same time, like Saturn, Jupiter opposing each other, squared to Pluto. Like there was a major T-squares also here. Like it's not just just a fast few planets. I mean, that happens a lot of times. The stellium, a lot of people have four and five planets in one thing, you know. But it's a whole configuration of the slow-moving planets joining the whole package. That's what makes it very, very radical type.
I see.
And
I understand that.
But imagine somebody who was born with like six planets in Aries.
Can
you imagine? The children of that time would be really amazing. I get along really well with them.
But she was I always wondered about Jennifer Jason Leigh with all these Aquarius planets, you know, and then she's Gemini rising, all air, you know. What an active nervous system she must have, you know.
But she has all these planets right on top in the 9th and 10th house then probably.
Yes.
Do you know any good shows that she's done or what?
Well, no, she's been in a lot of films. I mean, she's not really, her career is just not, it's not doing so well right now, but she's done really well. She was doing well in the 80s and 90s, you know.
I see.
So, yeah. But she's definitely a well-known actress, you know.
I see. Well, you know, by the way, when I'm saying when you take a combination of things, so Pluto moving into Capricorn, making all those Sagittarius themes of education, mass transportation, mass education, and all these themes, becoming much more concrete as Pluto moves into Capricorn, with Neptune in Aquarius, Uranus in Pisces, some of the coolest technology of audio and video, everything, holographic aspects, all that combination coming together. And then you have Saturn in the sign of Virgo still, with a standardization between Mac and, I mean, you had so many different standards, as you know, like even for your USB or, FireWire, etc. There were so many different standards. So with Saturn and Virgo, you get the precision precision things, but also like measuring devices, even at atomic level, for example. So it's an absolute, it's like a perfection. It's like Germans working. It's like, Mercedes, you know, the way it's taken up, that's Saturn and Virgo, so we have master craftsmen working on that. And so the standardization of different methods, etc. And then you have Jupiter and Aquarius, totally revolutionary technology. So, I mean, 12 years ago, also it happened, but this time, all the new, the cell technology, the nanotechnology, and this new light thing, and, when they are trying to recreate all these black holes and all, the time of Big Bang and all this thing. I mean, a lot of that total nonsense, you know, like I really laugh at the scientists and the way they speak, actually. I mean, I love the scientific knowledge, but the way they hypothesize, they're not very wise, it seems.
I see.
But the Big Bang thing, or even genetics, for example, when they say, for example, genetics is such a fantastic field. But the way they talk about evolution is such nonsense, absolutely. I mean, there's absolutely no way that you could actually, grow a tail or For example, if your little finger, you know, be half an inch taller, for example, then didn't need it. So, I mean, how do you actually change that genes? How do you actually bring that about? Because when your mother is born, half your genes is already there. So how, unless she actually has a direct contact with that, these oocytes, and same thing with the father, that we don't need the tail anymore, we don't have jungles anymore, so it somehow changed. But the genetics says that whether you're a little baby or a 90-year-old woman, that OV, those oocytes, they never change. The only way they change is by mutation, by, you know, by defects. So unless evolution means that we are progressively evolving in a negative way, that we only result of genetic mutation, which is not true. I mean, they're talking about not just cytoplasmic changes. They're at the nucleolic level. You know, if a little finger becomes this way, or I mean, you know, there's something with the environment. But the way they talk about in genetics, that since we didn't need it, that's why these species, for example, we used to fly, but we didn't need the wings anymore. I mean, what do you mean by we? We had absolutely no choice in the thing. It's like there's an intelligence out there which governs this whole plan. And, you know, I do believe if we do evolve, then even in Quran, you know, where it says, for example, that we are going to a state of perfection, except you may not understand its intermediate stages. That's exactly evolution. Just like when we say that everything is in a state of prayer, except you don't understand its language. So neutrons, protons buzzing around it, this is like a prayer, like something which, witnesses this, testifies to this huge intelligence out there which we call God, by any name that you call it. So it's not just a religious act or something, but to me, I think we were born, we were programmed to evolve. So if we do evolve, that's fine, but it's just that we were programmed for it. That the same creator who made us also made the jungle and knew after a million years we won't need the jungle anymore, so okay, fine, you don't have the tail anymore after that. It's not that we came outside, we discovered that there's no jungle, we don't need it anymore, because there's actually no way you can influence your own genes, because you're already born with it. Do you follow what I'm saying?
Yes,
and
I
this
do.
Is the part, you know, even with genetic the professors and all that, they get upset, you know, but they cannot prove it. I said, don't get emotional, just prove it scientifically, what are you talking about? So anyways, all that part, I think we'll know a lot of, I think we have some fantastic insight in genetics and biology, much more than what we have till about end of next year, with Saturn being the sign of Virgo. That's also the massive databases also, of course. And with that Jupiter being in Aquarius, using new technology, and also the eye, the retina, because that's all to me is also Aquarius, the optic nerve and the nervous system. So I think the cure for any sort of blindness, for example, I think will make some revolutionary advances there throughout next year. Yeah. I haven't even given out our number, actually, you know, for people to call in, but just now, you know, like we have, I just want to spend this time to just capitalize, to really talk about all the future aspects we're having. And
I agree,
some of the most important themes. And let me just see. So today the moon went to Aries just now. Let's see where the planets are right now in the sky. Seems Mars. Are you correct?
And you had said that day was April 4th, 2011?
Yes.
Yeah, I see.
That is the dangerous day for sure, yeah. See, right now Mars is in Scorpio. And Mercury in Scorpio is exactly that fellow's chart, the chief of staff of Obama. Rome, like this, Emmanuel, you know, his chart actually is being reflected in the sky right now, so no wonder he was picked. That's quite interesting, yeah. It's nice to see Jesse Jackson and all these other people, but it's interesting to see all this Al Sharpton. The thing is, you see, what people don't realize, Obama is not black. He's half white.
Yes, he is half white, yes.
Yeah, he's half white and half black, so he's got the best of both. Yeah.
Yes, that's wonderful, yes. Absolutely.
Yes. They keep on saying African-American, you know. But that's just half win. Other side is completely half, yeah. So we have the white people first, then we have half white, half black, and maybe then we'll have a woman or a black person after that, maybe, you know. But by that time, so all the prejudices are going to be over after the end of November. That's what I believe.
Do you really think
because
that's
most happening? Of the prejudices, yeah, unfortunately, the prejudices are brought up by religion. A lot by religion, unfortunately, you know. I shouldn't say the original religion, but the people who are preachers, the other ones to blame that, the other ones who inflame everything.
the original religions don't conflict with each other in any way.
Not at all.
Yeah,
absolutely. I mean, we believe, even Muslims, for example, they believe in Muhammad as a prophet, Jesus as a prophet. In fact, they call him like the Messiah, and Moses as a prophet, Abraham as a prophet. Yes.
Yeah.
But the practitioner. So with Pluto going away, and by the way, when crusades happen, it's the same Pluto and Sagittarius. Same thing.
I'm sorry.
When the crusades happened.
Oh yes.
Totally disastrous.
Yes.
When they were going to Jerusalem, the same thing happened this time also. The same Pluto and Sagittarius. But now it's going to Capricorn, so it's a bit very cold tied with Capricorn. Of course, the warmth is not there. Everybody's much more businesslike. The money is not there. So it's just the work ethics would be there. Of course, people have to work harder. They'll have a bit more struggle. All the Capricorn themes will be there much more. But I just hope, we will have all that warmth, that Leo theme with Obama coming up. Yeah. So right now with that Mars in Scorpio, late Scorpio, is still the 60s, late 60s age group is being affected right now, but the immune system is down. And the next it goes into Sagittarius. So the 30s age group and the early 40s, they'll be affected by the people from the, the country singers. And also the 70s age group will be affected by that. And depending on what part of 70s you are in, they'll be affected by that. Mars being in Sagittarius, but it's a bit of a nightmare theme in that chart, where the immune system is down, and so they'll definitely have to watch that. And Neptune is right now late degrees Aquarius. See, there's a Mars-Neptune square in the sky right now.
Oh.
The main one is already finished. The last few days it was there, but that's a bit of a nightmare theme by itself also. And some other charts here. I'm just looking at some of the things here. Taking off. Oh, that's a signal for some other. Now, Sherwin, you have a very good, you've done the charts of a lot of celebrities also, if you know their charts, right?
No, whose charts?
Like you know a lot of charts also. You know, like I was looking at Paris Hilton's chart. I think she is fantastic when it comes to marketing. Of course, very cool, aloof, and all this aspect is there. But she's got it Aquarius, and I think Mercury, I'm trying to remember, Aries or something, or?
I actually am not familiar with her chart. She rubs me the wrong way.
No, she has Mercury and Venus and Sun, everything in Aquarius. She actually, her chart is like Sarah Palin.
That makes sense.
She has Mars in Pisces, but she has Venus and Mercury and Sun in Aquarius. Yeah, her moon is in Leo. That's part of the same aspect. But that Aquarius part of her, very cool. But what's interesting, I find, is she has a Mercury-Pluto trine. You know when they say that ability to understand the divine truth, even though it's at a social level, but at the marketing, I think she's quite a marketing genius in that aspect. Like, she came with all the products. But she goes and she gets a brand-new Ferrari, like $250,000 for appearing for 20 minutes in a club. 2 hours late. Not many people can do that.
No, not many people can. She's
but
got
the planets
rooms
are coming
in
down.
House she's never been to,
Yes, but all the planets are right coming at the very bottom. When planets come down...
What's her rising sign?
Gemini Cancer.
Oh, I see.
Oh, that may not be correct. It says 12 p.m. No, that cannot be right.
No, right.
Yeah, unfortunately, that cannot be, But I find that, by the way, when planets are coming down, I have one for 3 a.m., which is Sagittarius rising. I'm not sure that. Well, she would have a lot of planets in the second house then. She would have that Venus in Aquarius also, which is, of course, all the beauty products and fashion, all that. She did come up with a lot of designing stuff. I mean, she does have a good mind for that. A very conceptual person, but so cool and aloof.
I'll give her that.
But she certainly understands the marketing aspects, see the trends. The Mercury Pluto you can use for understanding human nature, on a personal basis, or the mass level, it's the same theme. And so she definitely has that aspect. But with Neptune touching off her Mercury and Venus and all this, so that colors it to a great extent. Let me actually give out the numbers also, by the way. For our own numbers, it's 416-497-9000. And you can also write down my 800 number, which is 1-800-600-3488. I will call you right back. In the meantime, if you do want to call to discuss something today, I'll give you our North American number, which is 888-228-4494. And our website is astrotrends.net, astrotrends.net. And our email is stargaze@astrotrends.net. And that's stargaze, stargaze@astrotrends.net. Shivan had a very interesting listener in Los Angeles, actually. She lives 5 minutes away from the Universal Studios. And I was talking to her about you, actually. So we might be arranging one of the mansions there, since they're available at quite a good price right now. So I might be coming in about 4 or 5 weeks' time.
Wonderful, wonderful.
So we'll have some connection starting. And my astrolove.com, we're still working on that, actually. It'll be finished, I would say, in about 3 or 4 years, weeks' time. I have 3 dedicated servers, the PHP-based, but this is the .NET base that we are taking. And the .NET is much more difficult, actually, but we definitely need the, you know, for the environment and the configuration. Since you have to make, instead of shared hosting, it makes it difficult. So we're getting a dedicated .NET also very soon. So that'll be active very soon. And it'll be one of the first ones where you have astrological dating. You can go in, you can join free of charge right now, and you can compare your chart with other celebrities. You can see your own chart in there. And all you do is just mouse over. It'll bring out your chart, your aspects. All the aspects are there. And you can compare yourself with any other celebrities and see and get all the reports. So we are really working on that. Have you seen my website lately, Shivan?
I have. As a matter of fact, I'm just near the computer, and I was checking out the Dangerous Times 2011. You've just added that recently.
Yes, but that's Neptune. That's right. Yeah. I was really concerned, and I can really understand if there's all the UFOs and all that. If people didn't want to, if the government didn't want to say it, if there was any danger, like I'm really questioning whether I should write about it more or not, about 2011. I won't be absolutely sure before I say it, because I certainly don't want people to just go into a panic situation.
Right, right.
Because in astrology, of course, we understand it much more seriously than what people would think. I mean, I've seen NASA's, you can actually go on NASA's site, and you can actually look at these prototypes. I mean, you can actually have this... I forget what they call that, but we can experiment with all the, and you can actually go backwards and forward in time, and you can see the different asteroids coming towards the Earth. And I actually have seen 2-3 of them cross the path of the Earth 100%. It would completely knock the Earth off almost, but it was just slightly different timing with the chain. This is 6 months before or 6 months. If it was slightly different in time, it would have definitely you made an impact. So that part we do know for sure is there. And
but also, there'll
also
be warning signs, right? There'll be warning signs before that.
That will be. What I found very interesting? There's a whole column from here to from Earth to the Sun. This is electromagnetic, this solar thing, the solar storms that keep coming up. Every 8 minutes, it seems to replenish itself. And 8 minutes, is the distance of from the Sun to the Earth. Also, it may have something to do with that, with the light, 90 million miles. But there's an actual connection with the electromagnetic aspect between the Sun and the Earth. And I've always said there's something to do with the electromagnetic aspect because we represent, each one of us represent one specific geomagnetic field, at that time when we were born, which will never, ever repeat itself. And how we interact with it may have something to do with it. Because we are our whole nervous system. We're cutting this Earth at 9 degrees. We always... this magnetic aspect, it may have something to do with that, because the Earth's magnetic field is all induced by the Sun. And as the planets cut it at different angles, we find it changes constantly.
Yeah.
It may have something to do with that also, yeah. You know, I added another website. When you go to horoscopes and below the Sun signs, you'll find it says Venus and the 12 signs. Or you can go directly, astrotrends.net/Venus. Which gives all the different, clothing, etc., the accessories, and the different colors for different signs of the zodiac. But it's not a zodiac, it's a Venus position. Because each sign, as you know, we comprise of all the 12 signs within us. Like Obama, for example, has Venus in Cancer. So in terms of love matters, he loves good food, he loves the emotional security is very important for him. As opposed to his Mercury position, which is in Leo. So the Mercury in Leo, for example, the way he speaks, he definitely, you know, there's like that light aspect that he's having some connection, some revelation from God. The way he talks is, you know, he gives very good oratory skills, of course. And as long as we don't go into the Messiah complex, which he doesn't, luckily. And that may be part of his Aquarius rising with a lot of Pisces there, so he really feels for the children and old people. But I
understand if he had Mercury in Sagittarius, he could have had developed the Messiah complex more easily, right?
No. Mercury in Leo is much more in the Messiah complex than Sagittarius.
Oh, because of the ego? I see. Right.
That's right, yeah. Yeah. The Mercury and Sagittarius, they are, so, I mean, Dale Carnegie was born with that, and many people in positive motivation, et cetera, they have. It's a Leo part that gives that ego conflict.
Right.
And that's why you've got to be very careful if Leo's in the ninth house, for example. Many people have Sagittarius rising, they have Leo in the ninth house, which gives very good oratory skills and some connection with that heartline with God, but as long as they remain humble themselves. Leonardo da Vinci was also born with that. Elvis was born with Leo, he was Sagittarius rising, so he had Leo in the ninth house too. Which made a lot of sense, of course, that in his, you know, his gospel singing, when he sang the gospels, he was in a totally different world. You could see that he had almost like the connection with God. Do you remember some of his gospels? Yeah. Absolutely amazing. But no. His generation, his whole generation with that Neptune and Virgo, they were quite perfectionists, actually. Unfortunately, they always had their substance abuse aspect, right, from Liz Taylor to all of them, and the whole generation, a bit of that self-pity, poor me attitude, jazz and blues, you'll find that, you know. And I split my banana peel, and my wife's not talking to me, and you know, all these things. If you see the country singing, the sounds, all the things they talk about. The other themes I'm adding on this one, we'll be adding very soon, actually. You can go on our website, and by the way, on Facebook also, you can go to Astro Trends. There's a new application, which is my application, of course, and you can actually add it to your Facebook, so you can put any date of birth in it and give you the interpretation right away. I noticed that it's going from 1960 to 2021, but I'm going to change that from 1900 to 2021. And also, for the Facebook, if you do want to see my website, it's Astro Trends Hassan Jaffer. All three, if you put together, you'll get the Astro Trends Hassan Jaffer, and you're welcome to. From there, we can discuss all kinds of things about the world, about the newsletters, about what's happening in the world, and start developing some community on that.
Yeah.
So quite a few different things are going on, Shervin. I'll be sending out my newsletters very soon, finally. I haven't done that for some time because I was developing the software, actually. And as we are getting close to making this software, you'll be able to log in and with your information and do all kinds of research on yourself. So I'll be starting a free service actually for everyone. So you'll be able to put your milestones in there and or a very nominal fee will start here. And for the different reports.
I noticed you have your world predictions till 2017 here on the website.
Yes. Yeah, we do, yeah. It's like a laminated copy that we have for that. You know what's interesting? The day before yesterday, when the moon was in Pisces, one of my clients, I found a certain degree between 10 and 15 degrees is absolutely perfect for her, and she did win $700. And I told her, so you better get going. You know? But I took Jupiter, I took Chiron, I took Uranus, all the things, the constellations. She's coming to some major, major aspects. One of the luckiest things I've ever seen.
Please take mine into consideration very soon. I could use both.
You know, just a matter of research, you know, like that's why, because she's part of our VIP club, and she was able to put in all the dates. And what people don't understand, I'm not encouraging them to gamble, but even if they do a scratch, for example, they win $10, but every time they do win, if they note it down, that really helps us do the research on them. And the same thing, whether you're getting a project, for example, or the luck aspect is in many, many different areas. But ultimately, you know, Shervin, we really want to find out what makes, what's the biological, correlation there between us and all these stars and all the planets and all?
Yeah.
So if anybody wants to write to us, it's stargaze@astrotrends.net. And for April is when I'll be launching my everything, you know, Shervin.
April?
We're just preparing right now. April of next year is when we'll be doing a massive launch at that time. By that time, all the books will be ready, all the software will be ready. You'll be able to join in. So all the people who join in from now and whether it's maestrolab.com or .net, either one of them, you just join it free of charge for now, and we'll be extending all kinds of things to them. So the generation that's coming into a difficult asset, by the way, right now is the end of 60s, but the 70s is coming to a bit of a rough period. You'll have to watch that.
I know.
In driving.
I was aware of that, yeah.
Yeah, in all the driving, et cetera, and let me just mark that. The people who are going to a completely new cycle are Virgo, Gemini, Sagittarius, and Pisces. The other four signs which are going through that. Let me just see. So Mars actually goes into Sagittarius from November 16th, from mid-November. So people are born early 70s, they'll be affected. And this will go on till December 27th. So the late 70 people, they'll be also affected. I think we'll probably hear about some, you know, all other countries' fingers. I think that age group is going to be affected a lot.
Mm-hmm.
So
I have a question. Do you take, once it's moving away from Neptune, how many degrees orb do you take still? 2.5 or?
Yeah, at least about 2.5 degrees at least. Yes, if you're doing some major, you know, like for example, I wouldn't sleep when you're in the ocean, in the water, or when the immune system is down. And I find that people tend to set themselves up for it. Like Marilyn Monroe, she died in the Mars-Neptune aspect. So did Princess Diana. So did John F. Kennedy Jr. And he took off on the plane. I personally feel that his wife's sister actually really brought them all down, unfortunately. But he was shopping till like 5 o'clock or 6 o'clock, and he didn't start till almost like 8 o'clock. And he didn't even have the instrument rating, actually, in his flying. And he did have that Mars-Neptune. He was born the Mars-Saturn thing, which we had picked up, that he's born a major accident configuration. I'd written about it way before, about his thing, the accident configuration, he's born with, and aviation and all that. But it's the drowning part, the Mars-Neptune, actually, ultimately. And so,
how can
he's going
be that
so late. Well, if you're watching a movie on Titanic, that'll offset it. And the thing is, whatever you do becomes an obsession at that time. So you just have to be extra careful of allergies, of that you don't watch any horror movies at that time. So it becomes like a swimming, for example. You become more prone to that, any skin, teeth, you know, these type of things. Like just recently, you know, there was very sad that Mars-Neptune asked, there was a little boy, and he had this, actually he was 15 years old, he had this Xbox, and the parents took it away from him, and he said, okay, fine, I'm going, and they said, well, you have to just wear some cold things, and he took his bicycle, and he took off on 10th of October, just recently, on November 3rd or something, he was found dead. How could they, why did they have to just call his bluff, you know, they just said, you know, just let him go like that? And it started snowing, all the poor fellow, you know, he didn't even call anybody. There's a Mars-Neptune aspect, that whole age group. So that's just very sad to see that, you know. So it'd be nice to have a massive database, like all these databases that we could tap onto, and then we actually let them know that, like, for example, you know, you're going on a flight, and just one person can bring the whole thing down. And suddenly it rejects it. I'm sorry, you've got a Mars-Neptune aspect. You can't go on this flight. So it automatically screens. Wouldn't that be neat, an astrological filter?
It sure would be. But I think it would cause an uproar.
It was in the beginning, yes. But if you can prove something, I'm sure. But our natal report. And, you know, like our 12-month forecast, for example, now we actually highlighted red and green. By the way, if anybody wants a report, they can always write to, you can go to astrotrends.net. You'll see all the order forms there, all the products that we have. But the natal report, the in-depth personal analysis, is very important because it applies to all your life and has everything about yourself, what's the best, you know, your talents, etc. And it took me almost like 6 months to write those 6,000 paragraphs that go in that program. And the 12-month forecast for the next 7 months, what's the best time, way to offset a negative theme and how to make best use of that. But the solar life report is a really interesting one, you know, Shervin. And I'm surprised that not many astrologers have seen it. It's just like your birthday comes back every year, exactly the same day. I can hear a lot of noise there. Say, yo, is everything okay? Well, the on a birthday, so just like that, there are about 90 different events that happen every year, exactly the same day, all your life.
Right. the sun makes aspects to the planet, you know, in the chart.
Yes, or it stays in your 8th house at the exact same time all your life. Like in your case, exactly what? Late Pisces rising, right? So the month of June, July, actually July is the best one financially, for example. Or for the month of August and September, when it comes to your fame and career. So you've got to start planning before that, because sun goes into your 10th house every year, exactly the same day, all your life.
I just have a question. You said July, August is the best for fame. Oh, because it's in the 5th house. I see.
Yeah. No, it's your 10th house.
Oh, so then December is the best time for fame. That's what I thought originally.
If you didn't have, if your Pisces rising, then you'd have Sagittarius on top. It would be December actually for the fame part. Yes. The marriage would be.
And I was born with that anyway. So.
Yes, you're born on the planets right on top, right?
Yeah.
So any 10th house, exactly. Yeah.
Yeah.
But it really, and also you know when it touches your Venus, for example, it's always around the same time. If it's the 24th of the month, some months it may not do anything, but if it does touch the Venus, it'll always be around the same time. So your love matters will always be around that time. Like you have very early degrees of Venus, right?
Yes, 4 degrees.
Which is about the last, about 25th or 26th of the month. That's when sun touches off that Venus. So your best luck aspect to meet the right person is around the end of the month, not the beginning.
I see.
So, because it'll always be around that 4 degrees when sun touches it off. So it's around, of course, the first 6 months of next year. We will be doing something, probably, you know, with the satellite radio and all that also, Sheldon, next year. Hopefully we'll have some syndications, some radio stations also, or VBS might actually improve, you know, they might get a lot of radio people to pick the stations up also.
Okay.
But the first 6 months of next year are fantastic for that, with that Jupiter moving into Aquarius. So any other thing important you think we should know about, Sherman? We should talk about? The bailout thing. Many people ask.
Yes.
We got a few emails for that. And we had said in our May issue also that on my world predictions, when you go on my website, astrotrends.net, on the left-hand side, when you click on world predictions, and you see the latest ones, and the last one's also in May. We have said that this will be in September, October, November, till about end of December, that we'll have the major fallout, and the market itself will be completely redefined. And
so the end of November or December?
No, till end of November, that's all.
Yes.
As soon as Pluto moves into Capricorn, it's a totally different story.
Right.
I've seen that only till about end of... By the way, this also affects the newspapers. It affects the transportation companies. Which certainly makes sense. But
and
also,
what,
but hopefully it will force them to make these, for example, these solar, you know, powered cars, for example. You can say 35 miles an hour, you know, for farms and all that, there'll be a big chunk of people who would want that. And they already have it available. Using water, for example, because they use the electronics from there, the hydrogen powered. And so many different ways they've come out with, and I don't know why it's still like fossil-based economy, it seems. And
now
I think what's going to happen,
go ahead. Sorry, I was just going to ask, in regards to, I mean, the stock market is one thing, but this whole recession business, you know,
I don't really see recession, actually, no. This is definitely not that, like the depression of the 20, you know, that 29 that they had. They only had to about end of November, so where the market itself should be completely redefined. Whereas there's certain commodities like oil and all that, they shouldn't even be. You know, that, or for example, you can short certain things. It's like putting a hospital, a big hospital, for example, let's say it's, you know, on the stock market. It becomes a public company. And the more patients they have, the more money they make, for example. I mean, it'd be so ridiculous. So they need to really redo their whole philosophy, it seems. And that's what's happening. That's what they're going to be forced to do that.
Now,
because it's like
but in
this,
terms of
this
consumer
market.
Spending... Like the consumer spending being down, economy not growing, when do you think that's coming to an end?
Well, by end of November, I think people will start becoming more into the savings or buying more gold, for example, the tangible things, and not living like a virtual world. You know, that's what's happening. The whole market, I mean, even like the MSN and all that, maybe it's part of this aspect that everybody was on, you know, on the computer, like the teenagers are constantly on till about, like, upset till 2 o'clock, 3 o'clock in the morning, just... And they'll get tired of all that. August 7th, we are coming to an end now. And
okay.
Thank you very much. And again, this our telephone number is 416-497-9000. And our website is astrotrends.net. And until next week, this is your astrologer, Hassan Jaffer, with my good friend, Shervin, my host. Thank you, Shervin. And
yeah,
I wish you all the best.
It's a pleasure. Okay,
and
all the best. Take care.
Good luck. Thank you very much.